Welcome. You're tuned in to the Two Kings podcast, with your hosts Brian Weeks and Adam Ricker. You may now enter the kingdom.
Good morning and welcome to the Two Kings podcast. I am Big Ricker, the biggest of Rickers, here on another Saturday morning, and I am joined by the bald beardy bear, Brian Weeks.
Good morning. Yes, it is another lovely Saturday morning at the Two Kings podcast. And how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good. Just, got out of work and starting my weekend.
Okay.
Yay. So, how was your week last week?
Pretty good. It was a quiet week. Mm-hmm. Really nothing exciting. Just one of those weeks, you know.
Yep. Yeah, I mean,
kind of flew by.
Sure. It really did. And, you know, we're just having that discussion of some weeks are more exciting than others. I had something mildly exciting happen. I had a very dumb injury.
Oh.
Yes, I'm at work the other night. I was using our safety knife, and I sliced my finger open. But not with a knife. I sliced my finger open with the little button that you press to slide the blade out.
A sharp button.
Apparently, yes.
I guess so, huh? That's weird.
Yeah, so it was a really... And, of course, it happened to happen on my thumb, and it's the thumb that I use to my Touch ID on my phone. So, like, for a couple of days, it wasn't even recognizing my thumb. But now it's gotten to a point where it is recognizing it again, so I'm on the mend.
Well, that's good.
Yes.
Glad to hear it.
Dumb injuries are just... They're sometimes plentiful and sometimes... Not. Have you ever had any just stupid injuries? I have a couple, but...
I mean, you know, the stubbed toe, the bashed shin. Mm-hmm. I dropped a wrestling ring on my big toe once. Like that? Like, I was in a match and I had thrown my opponent into the post on the outside of the ring. And I charged at them, and they moved out of the way, and I hit the post so hard that I lifted the ring up momentarily, and the post came smashing down on my big toe.
Oh, my God.
During the match.
That's horrible.
It gave me a nice laceration right below the nail bed, but the nail ended up still dying, fell off, grew back.
Oh, wow.
They put me in a cast for no reason for, like, a week.
Wow.
Because they thought, oh, yeah, your foot's going to be fine, just you can't move it or so it can heal. And I'm like, well, no, it's going to fall. The toenail's going to fall off, and it'll grow back. I'm not worried about that. That's what it's going to do.
Wow.
But, yeah, it was dumb. Like, I felt it during the match. I was bleeding through my shoe. I could see the blood coming through my shoe, so I'm panicking while it's still wrestling.
Wow. So you pulled a Curt Schilling. You actually had, like, bleeding foot and were still doing your thing.
Yeah, I finished the match and went out back and took my shoe off, and everyone's like, yeah, you should go to the emergency room for that.
Wow.
So I did, and...
That's an incredible
story. My buddy James was with me, and James and I always have a good time. He's my tag partner, Jimmy Limits. Mm-hmm. He's a good dude, does the same work I do. Like, we're 10 years apart in age, but, like, when we get together, you'd never know it. We're like two peas in a pod, so.
True story.
He was with me through the whole ordeal. We did a lot. We did some Facebook Live on it. It was fun, but, like, it was just a stupid injury. I could have avoided it by just paying attention, so.
Now I'm going to have to go creep back into your Facebook status and see that.
Yeah. So that's my dumb injury, I guess. Wow.
Well, I mean, yeah, I guess, but that's a really cool story, though.
It's just it could have been worse.
Definitely.
Much worse, but everything just happened so slow. Like, it was a slow process losing the nail, and then it growing back was a long process, and blah, blah, blah. blah. So,
well, I guess my other dumbest injury. I mean, I have the thing where I have two matching scars on each shin from walking into a stump, the same stump, two different times, a year apart. Mm-hmm. But I think the other dumbest injury I ever had was when I had a sewing machine needle go through my finger.
Ouch.
Yeah. I was working for a quilting supplies catalog that is no longer, I don't think, I mean, they're still in business, but they sold to somebody else. So they're like not around anymore here as far as like the call center thing. But part of the job was they would give us free materials and highly encourage us to try and actually do quilting so that we could be a little bit more, I don't know, knowledgeable. Mm-hmm. When we're talking to people on the phone. And I was starting to use a sewing machine for the first time in my life. I've never used a sewing machine before. I do all of my sewing by hand. And probably shouldn't have been watching the Super Bowl while I was sewing on a sewing machine for the first time.
Oh.
But what it wasn't even like that exciting in the game. It's just that there's this little plastic thing that goes on your sewing machine so that you can glide your fabric along it so it has that quarter-inch seam and it's consistent.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what had happened was I had momentarily... something happened on the TV and I just happened to momentarily look up and the fabric, like, jumped over the seam guide and I went to go bring it back.
Mm-hmm.
And
ooh.
And forgot that, oh, yeah, that's operated by my foot and it went... The needle went through my finger.
Ouch.
But the weirdest thing happened was when it went through, it came out the other side, but it sealed itself. Like, there was no blood. There was hardly any pain. I mean, it just sort of felt like when I got my ear pierced.
Mm-hmm.
And
I remember that when I got my, yeah.
Yeah, it's a pinch, but it was like a sustained pinch, you know? I would imagine if I were to do the thing where, you know, like, you know, the thing where you actually have to put the needle, like, if you get your nipple pierced or something, or they have to put the needle through it. I bet that would be about an equivalent style of pain. But I went to the ER because I didn't want to try and take the needle out on my own. So they did an X-ray, and they brought in like three other doctors to take a look because they said that I was like one micromillimeter away from hitting the bone and shattering my bone in my finger.
Oh, goddamn.
But the thing is, like, all this stuff, like, holy shit, but it didn't really hurt. So all they did was they had to, of course, poke me four or five more times with local anesthetic. They took the little wire snips, gone. But then, I'm sitting there waiting to get discharged. The nurse comes back and says, so, when we were giving you the anesthetic or whatever, I was going to throw the needle away and I poked myself with it. So now we both have to get HIV tests.
Oh, wow.
So like that was the night of needles in January of 2001. But that was a really, really dumb injury. But painkillers were good and I've never used a sewing machine again.
Wow.
I won't. I will only sew by hand.
That's, ouch. I can't, ugh.
Yes. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to give you the willies.
No, it's always those stories of, oh, any different and this could have went wrong, you know, and
yeah,
by an inch, and you would have had a completely different outcome. It's like, those, ugh. I get the sympathy pains, too. It's part of being an empath, I guess.
Right, right.
I'm like, oh, I can't imagine the pain of having a needle driven through my finger or something like that. Well, I know, like you said, you didn't really feel it, but
yeah. Still,
it's just the idea, I guess.
Right. Now, you had just mentioned something interesting that made me think of a really cool movie. If anything had happened just a little bit differently, it would have all been completely different. Did you ever see the movie Sliding Doors with Gwyneth Paltrow?
No, but I've seen Butterfly Effect with Ashton Kutcher.
Okay. Well, and I have not seen that one, but I understood that it was one of those every action causes a reaction, which is the butterfly effect.
Mm-hmm.
But super quick with Sliding Doors, it the movie is about a woman on a day at work. She runs down to the subway. She gets in the subway and goes about her day. But then it backs up, and then you see her go down to the subway, but she misses the subway. And then from there on, it diverges, and it's scenes back and forth, but you see her life if she caught the subway and if she didn't catch the subway. And it is the most mundane task of getting a subway to go home that changed her entire life. And it was, it's such an interesting movie, and it's so good that it doesn't even matter to me that I can't stand Gwyneth Paltrow. Well, it's the fake British accent that she uses, and she plays a British character, and you know she's a good actress, but the poor British accent. But we should watch that sometime. It's a very, very good movie. I highly recommend it.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, I guess that theory of a movie like that, like it stands true. Like, you know, like you think of people who've, you know, passed away in a car accident, for example. What if, you know, what if they left their house 30 seconds later?
Right.
Or what if they were 30 seconds later to where they were? Would they have still been in that situation? Like, mm-hmm. It's just a chain of events, you know? It's weird that, and it's weird to think that, like, other, I don't know. For me, I feel like a lot of things happen for a reason, like, for a reason.
Oh, yeah.
Good, the bad, the ugly, all of it happens for a reason. Mm-hmm. And makes you wonder why, I guess, really, like, but, I don't know, it's just weird to think, like, I wish there was a way to know, like, how things would turn out if things went differently, you know, like.
Oh, like getting to read a couple pages ahead in the Choose Your Own Adventure book?
Right, like, my friend, my old friend D-Money used to say, like, he, you know, where would have his life been, like, if in high school he had gone into wrestling training? Like, we used to wrestle together. Mm-hmm. And he said, what if, like, fresh out of the gate, you know, 17, 18, I had gone to wrestling school and put my life into wrestling? Where would I, you know, would I still be doing it rather than, you know, having done it for a while, then took some time off? And he's like, I'm too old to get back into it now. And that's not a shot at him or anything. Those are his words.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that's a good point. One of my, like, stories was around the time I met the guys at PPW, the Portland show I used to do, mm-hmm. on Mondays. Before I met them, I was training with Tony Atlas, WWE Hall of Famer Tony Atlas, the runner-up to Tough Enough, Luke Robinson. We were best friends in high school, and that was all bonded over wrestling. And when Luke made it to Tough Enough, I kept thinking, I'm like, what if I'd have stuck with Luke and them and not diverged? Because there was a time that Luke, myself, our friend Casey, who were trained by Tony, were wrestling for Tony. We met these guys in Portland, the PPW guys. Mm-hmm. We were going down on Mondays. That's how I met D-Money, Keith, Ryan, Brittany, Jen, all those guys.
Okay.
That's how I met all of them. And one day Luke was like, listen, Tony doesn't want us doing this backyard thing anymore. We're going to start going up to Old Town instead of Portland, you know, and that's what we're doing. And I'm like, it's not what I'm doing. Like, I'm friends with these people. I'm not just going to up and abandon them. But, like, I often think if I'd have just been like, okay, fuck these guys, mm-hmm. I wouldn't have, they're, and all these people are lifelong friends, like Steve, Keith, Ryan, D-Money, like, lifelong, it's one of those, there's those type of friendships that they're not going to fade away. They're there forever.
Sure.
And then I got into the game of wrestling up north late, like 2009 is when I started coming around. But if I'd have stuck with them, I'd have been started wrestling 4 years earlier and been wrestling for four more years than I did. And would I still be doing it now? Would I be into bigger and better things if I'd have stuck there? And I think about that a lot. Like,
so, and I don't, and maybe I'm wrong, I don't see that as a regret, but it is one of those, probably your biggest what if.
Yeah, it's really like a huh. Like, I mean, yeah. I like I said, I'll never trade my friendships with those the friends in Portland that I made. I would never trade that for the world. However, I often do think, what if I say it's the same with college too. Like for me, college was, it felt like at the time, the thing you have to do after high school.
Sure.
Everybody else in my class, my class had a very high college participation rate. A lot of people graduating, going right into school, in like Massachusetts, up north in Orono. I didn't really put a lot of thought into it. I just applied to some schools that looked kind of cool, and yeah. I went to the first one that I got an acceptance letter from, and that was LaSalle University in Newton, Mass. But I thought, what if I'd have went to Orono and been closer to rest? You know what I mean? There's so many what ifs then.
Yeah. I mean, I have my big what if, and again, it's not a regret. It's a what if. Mid to the end of my 10th grade year, I was offered to go to a private school, the Holderness School over in Holderness, for junior and senior year at no cost to me. It wasn't a scholarship. It was a gift from a guy that my dad used to do work for. And but he offered to pay for my tuition to go there for 2 years.
Oh, wow.
And my reasonings at the time for not doing it is, the time I'm about to be 16 years old. So like put yourself into your 15-year-old shoes. Somebody wants to send you to this fancy prep school for your last 2 years. My reasoning for not going was, well, I have all my friends here. I don't want to, like, the Holderness School is a sleepaway school. I mean, it's only 10 minutes from my house or 15 minutes from my house, but you live there.
Right.
So I won't ever see my friends because I don't live at home. They don't live here. And they required you at the time to play two sports. And I'm athletic enough to play a sport. I don't like playing sports. So that's what it, like, that doesn't interest me.
Right.
So being required to play two sports didn't interest me at all. And the other was that they had school 6 days a week. They had half days on Wednesdays and Saturdays, but like then a regular. So Sunday was really your only day off, but you had two half days. And that seemed, again, like taking a lot of my free time as a 15-year-old kid. Like, no, I'm not into that.
Right.
So that it is a what if. Like, I wonder, would I have gotten further in my career earlier or whatever? Would I have gone directly to college from a prep school? Probably. But, you know, who knows? But yeah, that's my big one. What about you guys? How about you, our listeners? Do you have any, what's your big what if moment or whatever? Is it not, and again, it doesn't have to be something that you regret. Just what's the big thing in your life that you could have done or did or didn't do that would have, what's your pivotal what if moment, I guess?
Yeah, like that moment like where you may not have realized it at the time, but you think back and you're like, if I had just made a different decision, you know, where would I be sitting right now?
Yeah.
Like, I wonder, you know what I mean? Would I be sitting here right now if I'd have done all that wrestling stuff? You know what I mean?
You would.
Because I figured I'd have outgrown Bangor by then, and yeah. I don't know. I hope so too, of course. But, like, it's amazing how, like, one thing could have changed everything. So, I don't know.
We could be, you know, if we had both had our what-if moments and we made the different decision, we could still be potentially sitting right here, but we maybe would own the house that we're in instead of living in an apartment. But, or whatever, you know. It's all little things.
Yeah. Well, what we're going to do now is take a quick break, and then we will be back for the second half of the Two Kings podcast, where every day is Saturday.
Yes, it is. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the second half of the Two Kings podcast. Again, it's Brian Weeks, the Bald Beardy Bear, and I'm here with Adam Ricker, the biggest of Rickers.
Big Ricker.
Big Ricker.
Please. You want to use your gimmick, you got to use mine too.
Yes.
So welcome back. Mm-hmm. We were talking about dumb injuries in the first half of the podcast, and during our break, Brian mentioned that he had a story about another one.
Yeah, it just reminded me, we were watching a video on TikTok, and it reminded me of something. So back when I was like 19 years old, I worked at Subway, and I worked with a couple of other people. I was the closer, but one night I opened the store and then worked all day, and then the high school kids would come in and do the closing shift. So I came in one morning to a big note scotch taped above the trash can in back, and it says to something about we needed to wrap up the knives better. And if you've ever worked at Subway or whatever, or been to Subway, the knives that they use are the sharpest knives I have ever seen, and their standard operating procedure is that you can only use a knife for one day and then you have to throw it away. You have to use a brand new knife every day.
Wow.
Yeah. And each person, each person gets a knife every day and they throw it out at the end of the day. So her suggestion was, can we maybe put it in one of the big ass like tuna fish cans or something? Because she says, I was bringing the trash out last night and I got stabbed in the leg 5 times on the way to the trash can. Now that's not really inherently funny, but what I imagined was her, because she was very short, her having the trash bag over her shoulder like Santa Claus, and every time she took a step, ow, 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 like getting stabbed the same time, like in the same place. And she showed me, and it was all in the same place. So that's exactly what happened.
Wow.
So that's a dumb injury, but it was just, I found it to be hilarious at the time, and I even drew it as a cartoon of like the little like word bubble, ow, 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 like on its way to the trash can.
The knife story makes me think of one more as far back as third grade.
Oh.
I want to say it was second or third grade. It was around that time. My mom probably remembers it better than I do because I only really remember like bits and pieces of it. But my mom was working at the American Legion. Mm-hmm. My dad was sleeping. Or I shouldn't say sleeping. Like, he was there. Like, he was in the house. And if something happened, he was present enough to be there. But, like, my brother and I, like, we had an adult in the house. But, like, we didn't need direct supervision. Like, I sure. played Nintendo and my brother either watched or played with his toys. Like, whatever it was. Or watched TV. Like, we weren't those kind of kids that, like, needed to be watched 24/7.
Right.
And I had just gone on a field trip to the Children's Science Museum where I saw the thing where you take the 2 2-liter bottles and they're attached at the mouthpiece by this little device that they screw into each end. It's partially filled with water. You turn it upside down, you can spin it, and it's like it tornadoes into the other bottle.
Oh, okay.
Basically show you how centrifugal force works. All right. And I wanted to make one of those at home, so I took 2 2-liter bottles, and I used scotch tape to try and I wrapped it around. I stacked them on each other by the mouthpiece, wrapped the tape around real good to try and seal it. Was not sealing correctly. Right. So I was like, oh, yeah, well, my dad has electrical tape or duct tape, so I'll use one of those. But I needed to get the scotch tape off first, so I don't remember which knife it was. I want to say it was like a cheese knife that had like these fancy like tube things on the end of the blade. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I couldn't remember. I think I ended up saying it was a steak knife just because the type of knife seemed really mundane.
Sure.
I didn't want to get in trouble, I guess. Like, I don't know what my logic. I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I remember holding the bottle. Like, my right. I still have the scar in the webbing of my hand. So I'm holding the bottle by the neck, and with my left hand, I'm using the knife to, like in a downward kind of way, chip away at the tape. Sure. To get it off, and I stabbed right into my hand.
Ooh.
between my thumb and my pointer finger, that webbing.
Yeah.
Like, right into there.
Mm-hmm.
Wide open. Now, I'm sure it did, but I don't remember it bleeding. I remember there just being a big hole in my hand.
Okay.
And I remember I called my mom about it. I don't think I told my dad about it. I called my mom about it.
Yeah.
I was like, it's not that bad. You can look at it when you get home. I remember when she got home looking at it and was like, holy shit. You know, like, I had to go get stitches, essentially, because of it. And, like, I remember going to school and the teacher just being like, this is why you don't play with knives. I was like, I wasn't really playing with it. Like, wow. I just used it incorrectly.
That's nice.
It wasn't a toy. I was trying to cut something. Like, I wasn't just messing around.
She just thought, well.
Right. Well, to this day, in the webbing there between my thumb and pointer finger, you can see the scar still.
On your right hand? On
my right hand.
That's. Yeah. I have a scar right here, too. Right here from the thing at Subway. That's how I found out how sharp they were. They cut the bread differently now, but we used to have to cut a V-shaped notch out of the bread and pull the top off. And as I was coming around the corner there, it got my hand.
Yeah, I really wish I remember more. Like, I in my head have bits and pieces of it, but I do remember that. I remember not being upset about it till my mom got home and looked at it. And the second she looked at it, I was like,
That's a very classic kid reaction. I like that.
Oh, yeah. And I it's one of those things I remembered, like, when I was being a teacher, like a daycare teacher. Mm-hmm. Whenever one of the kids would, like, get hurt or something would happen, I remember that, like, that brief stare down. Between you and the kid, where they are waiting to gauge how they should react based on how you react. So I never freaked out when a kid got hurt at daycare. I was always like, "Oh, you all right?" I'm like, "Let's stand up. Let's brush it off. Here we go. You're good."
Nice.
I'm like, "You can cry if you want to, but there's really no need to."
Excuse me.
And kind of let him know, like, you have the right to be upset. I understand, but you don't have to cry. Like, it's not gonna change. I talk to the kids like they're little adults, I guess.
Right. Well, that's awesome. I like that. I mean, they respond well to it.
Mm-hmm. I think it's easier. It gives them an easier way to understand as they get older. Like, I've been spoken to this way my whole life.
Sure.
I'm like, I'm not candy coating it.
Right.
I'm not going to lie. This injury's pretty bad there, little one, but.
Well, when I was the day after my 8th birthday, I was playing on my bike out in our driveway, and I had just seen a commercial for lawnmowers, and they were talking about the turning circle of the lawnmower, and apparently that's a big deal if it has a smaller turning circle, probably so that you don't have to go over the grass so often. Bless you.
Thank you. Allergy season. Whew.
Oh, yeah. Oh, horrible. but I was trying to figure out what the turning circle of my bicycle was, and we had a big... like parking lot style driveway at the bottom, right in front of my house. So I'm going around and around and around in smaller circles and smaller circles. And the pavement was uneven, just to put it mildly. And as I was coming around one of the corners, I apparently hit a chunk of pavement that had come out or whatever.
Yeah.
And went ass over tea kettle over the bike, over the handles, and did a face plant into the pavement and slid. Which is why I have my scar above my eyebrow here.
Ah, yes, the above eyebrow scar. I have one of those as well. That injury dates back to being however old I was when my brother was born. I was born August 85. He was born April 87.
Okay.
I guess I drove my big wheel. That we lived in a military duplex. The whole complex thing, complex, duplex complex. I guess I know it's weird to put those words together. They don't roll off the tongue together nicely.
No, but I can picture it though.
Yeah, so it was one of those where you're around a bunch of other military families, and you have your own backyard and everything. Mm-hmm. The way I understand it, I rode my big under the supervision of my uncle and my dad. I don't really remember the details of that, but someone was babysitting me. I tried to drive my big wheel down some cement stairs and like scraped up like the whole right side of my face. Mm-hmm. It had healed enough like within a day or two, like to go to the hospital to meet my brother. My mom had to be under observation after giving birth to my brother, just like medical stuff. Mm-hmm. So we couldn't go right away. But when I was able to go, no one had told my mom about the injury. So when I come in to meet my baby brother and see my mom after a day or two, mm-hmm. I've got this big scrape down the side of my face. Right. So like that wasn't she wasn't impressed with that.
I would imagine not. But not at you.
Right, but I say under the right light, you can still see the scar on my right, like on the right side of my, like around my temple area. Mm. And there was another one I was thinking of, like that, might as well theme the episode around, yeah, dumb it.
Why not, right?
I used to live near this place in Auburn, Maine, called Pettingill Park, and they had a big hill where everyone would go sledding. You know, the neighborhood kids essentially would go sledding. Mm-hmm. And when my dad was dating this woman named Julie, her kids lived with us. Mm-hmm. And we had, one day we had over, like, her kids were over, some of their friends. There was a bunch of us kids.
Sure.
And where we were sledding, we built a jump halfway down the hill, so it was, you know, you hit the jump and then keep going. Well, my sled hit the jump and my sled kept going, but it was like one of those scenes out of, like, you know, like when the coyote chases the roadrunner off a cliff and he stands there for a second like, oh shit, there's nothing underneath me. Mm-hmm. It felt like that. That's the memory I feel like.
Okay.
Where like I watched the sled kept going down the hill and then like I just like hit the hill. Ooh. And like busted up my tailbone, and I remember having to like walk home because of it. I lived right next to the park, but like the park was down. There were two entrances to the park, and they were both down, literally downhill. It was like down in a valley, mm-hmm. where this park and rec center was. So I had to like walk up this steep hill to get back home, tailbone all busted, like whimpering the whole way.
Oh, that's horrible.
And I haven't been, like, that and the other time I went sledding and hit a jump and then went headfirst into a snowbank with my legs sticking out.
I'm sorry.
I was with my friend and his dad and his little brother. I remember my friend's dad pulling me out of the snow by my legs.
Oh, God. That's not funny, but, like, the cartoon visual in my head is hilarious.
Oh, yeah,
that's
like, thinking funny. Back, it probably looked hilarious. Like, I'd probably laugh. Mm. But it was not fun for me being stuck headfirst in a snowbank.
No.
So basically, I just don't go sledding now.
Well, I shouldn't either. I mean, that when I was a kid, me and my friend Trey and a couple of other people, we had this sledding hill right next to Trey's house, and I'm pretty sure I showed you where it is across the street from that restaurant Canoe over in Santa Harbor, and there's a big hill, and it's also a cow pasture, so there's like barbed wire and electrical fence around it, and you learn real quick to jump off of your inner tube or stop yourself before you go careening into the barbed wire. You know, it'll happen once or twice. You learn real quick.
I was gonna say, you learn really fast with that.
After having that was when I learned how to patch an inner tube, because my dad said he was not going to buy me another one. I could fix the one I had, goddammit.
That sounds like him.
Yeah. But that was a cool thing. Like and I do have to say that if I were to ever go sledding again, under perfect circumstances, I would totally go with an inner tube again. I would never go on a sled. Inner tubes are a lot more fun.
Yeah. I can agree that there's a place in Maine in Oxford, I want to say, where they did the inner tubing rides, but it was like, I think it was also a place you could ski or something, but they had the special lift that you attach your inner tube, it drags you up the hill, and then you go down one of the three or four set trails. Yeah. My brother went down before me once, and then I went after, but he didn't clear out the bottom of the way, and I straight ran him over with the inner tube.
Wow.
Like, back on that Looney Tunes Acme shit, like, in the snow, like... He was anyway, like, not me, but I was like, oh, boy.
They do that at Loon Mountain. I've actually wanted to do that for the longest time, to do, like, the night tubing where, yeah.
We never made it to the ice castles this year.
I want to do that, obviously, next year, but, yeah. This sounds like a lot of fun.
It really does. Like, I have friends that have gone to the ice castles, and they've enjoyed it, but... Yes, so, yeah, the, on the Facebook page, on the post where we're announcing this episode, I'm sure where you've got the information, share with us how you've, any dumb injury or something along the way. Now, like, when I say dumb injury, it's one of those things that, like... Oh, I can look back and laugh at it now. Like, maybe to you, like, breaking your leg was a dumb injury because of the way it happened. Or no injury is invalid here. So if you have a dumb injury you'd like to share, go on over to our Facebook page at Two Kings Podcast on Facebook. And on the post where we're advertising this episode, share with us exactly what happened, how it went down. If it's a really good story, maybe we'll read it on the air.
Yeah. We love hearing from you.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Good to know you guys are out there listening and interacting and supporting. It's very much appreciated. Yeah. We kind of see we've got our regular group of listeners each week. Sometimes the numbers are a little higher, sometimes they're a little lower, but like it's good to know that at least we've got a steady support stream out there, and we appreciate you guys very much. Being with us each week while we continue to do this and figure it all out and all that.
Yeah, because it's a lot. I mean, this is a lot of fun. And, you know, we hope that you're having as much fun listening as we are making the podcast.
Exactly. Like, it's, and that's what the main thing to remember is it's about having fun and doing it for us and the people who enjoy listening to us. And, that's where you really got to start. Like, if you drive, you do these kind of projects. And even if that's something, if you're out there thinking of starting a podcast or starting anything like that, first of all, if you're starting a podcast, go to Anchor for sure, because Anchor is the easiest way to do it. However, a lot, and it's one thing I've noticed that being a streamer and like seeing other friends who do streaming, if you worry about the number of people viewing you, it can really take you out of wanting to do it. Like, there have been days I've signed on and there's been like nobody that's come on to watch me play, and I'm like, well, why am I even doing this? And then I stop streaming and continue playing, and I'm like, I could just keep streaming and realize that I'm here to have fun while I'm doing it. Right. We have fun while we do this, and we really hope that you guys enjoy our content and share our content with your friends and
definitely
all of that good stuff.
Yeah. So I think we can kind of
I think
wrap it up for the week.
Call it an early day. We've had some episodes run over. We got some short. We're really sticking to not trying to extend it just because. But
yeah.
It was nice chatting about dumb injuries today. Some fun stories and.
Definitely.
Realize there's a lot of dumb ways to hurt yourself out there. And
don't they have a TV show about...
It was called 100 Ways... I think it was 100 Ways to Die.
Okay.
It was on Spike TV back in the day.
Yep.
Before Gen Z canceled Toxic Masculinity.
Right.
No, yeah, I've watched a couple episodes of it, and there's just ways you would never think of. Like, I'll never... I told you the story about the nail sticking up on the deck by the pool, and they were
Yeah.
I'd see, so like in real life to me, like I'll never do that just because I saw that, you know. So.
Exactly. Well,
Well, all right, folks. Thank you so much for being with us this week. Thank you for all your support, like I said. We will be back next... Wait a minute. Well, yo, yep. No, next Saturday is...
The day before Easter.
The third. Yep. I think it's 2 weeks that we won't have our Saturday morning edition. So, we'll still put something out, but it may not be our morning of recording because we're going to be... taking a trip up north in 2 weeks. Yes. Gonna go visit old Bangor, and they got Vacation Land Wrestling going on up there. I'm gonna go support some of my friends. I'm not wrestling anymore, but like it'll be nice to go visit the people and sit and actually watch a wrestling show starring the people I care about and the people I've worked with for many years and seeing it from a different perspective. So I'm very excited.
Definitely, definitely.
Well, all right, folks, take care of each other. Keep your hands to yourself. Wear a mask. Get vaccinated. We're almost through this. And we will see you next week.
Yeah, see you next week, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.